Okay. Oh, goodness. All right. Hi. All right. Well, so a couple months ago, Pastor Gary said, hey, I think on Wednesdays we should do a series on worship. And I was like, yes, that's great. And then he was like, yeah, I think you should do it. He's like, get with Josh too. You know, you guys work it out or whatever. And I was like, oh, yeah. Have you ever said yes to something and then you got home? I was like, what did I do that for? No, for real. And then I got really nervous about it, which sounds funny because I'm one of the worship leaders here and I love worship, you know? But all of a sudden, the bigness of worship, the word worship, it became this like big thing in my mind. And have you ever had something that was so important to you and so much of a part of your life that when someone tries to have you explain it to them, you know? And so I would imagine myself standing up here and saying, I love to worship you guys. Worship is so great. Worship is amazing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, it almost felt like such a big thing that even to talk about it almost kind of cheapens it a little bit. That's how I feel about worship. And so I really was like regretting my immediate yes to Pastor Gary. So I started praying about it, you know, as one should. I have a bathtub in my house, which hopefully that's not TMI. Anyway, sometimes when I need to hear from the Lord and I feel like I'm not hearing from him, I go sit in there. And Panera is Josh's portal to heaven. That's what we all say. And staff. On staff. And the bathtub is mine. So... No, anyway, I went and sat in there and I just started crying with the Lord. I was like, how do you even talk about this to people? Like, how do you explain worship? And just as clear as day, I heard while I was sitting in my tub, the word global. And I was like, I looked up the definition of global. It's relating to or embracing the whole of something. And so tonight we're going to talk about global worship. And I don't mean worship around the world. Although I hope worship is going on around the world, and we know that it is. Global worship. That I would be global in my worship, meaning that it involves the entirety of who I am. My global self. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? So that's where I feel like the Lord wanted us to start tonight, because honestly, what I'm going to talk about really has nothing to do with what goes on up here at all. That's very, 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 very little of worship, actually. So tonight I'm going to talk about this journey. Honestly, I told a friend earlier today, I'm like, after I've been like looking into all this more, I feel like I don't even know that I've actually like really been a worshiper. Maybe for like the last 2 years. And I've been leading worship for over 20 years. So that ain't good. Worship the lifestyle. And I've heard that said a lot. Worship is, you know, worship is a lifestyle. And to be honest, I don't know that I really knew what that meant exactly. Worship is a lifestyle. Worship is more than a song. You know, we've even written songs about, like, you know, worship is more than a song. I'm singing this song. It's more than, like, you know, but what does it actually mean for worship to be a lifestyle? I grew up in a pastor's home, and so I've been in church my whole life. And I was very aware of the presence of the Lord from a really young age. My dad was, he came up in a holiness church. I don't know if anybody here knows what that means. It means a lot of things. I won't get into all that tonight. But I am 41, you know, so, worship wasn't like a genre of music when I was growing up. It wasn't like, well, I don't know, we just didn't talk about it that way. It wasn't like worship music and then other kinds of music. We had a song service in church. Does anybody know that? Like, I'll fly away, oh glory. So we did song service and then there was preaching, but this holiness church was definitely Pentecostal. So I grew up with, like, tongue talking, the whole thing, right? So I was very familiar with, like, knowing what the presence of the Lord was. In our church, if the spirit was, like, really moving, you know, somebody might get up, run a few laps. Don't make me show you what that looks like. So that was, like, you know, good service. If it got real crazy, we had this one guy who could, we had pews. Does everybody know what pews are? wooden pews. And we had this man who could, he would take off running and he would run on the backs of them. Like, you know, it was kind of cool, like a circus trick. So that was like the song service. That was like the Holy Ghost. You know, there was no Holy Spirit when I was growing up. It was a ghost always. So that's what I grew up with. Okay. And, just had great moments where, like, I just, you know, I remember being in those services and I would just cry. Like, I just knew something was going on. I was very aware. But then this transition of being a child and living, you know, under your parents and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden, then you're an adult, right? And what does it look like then when you're an adult? What do you do with this thing called your relationship with Jesus? And so I knew I loved Jesus. I had asked him into my heart and all of those things. And so I came to Evangel, as Josh said. And I knew I wanted to do music. I didn't know what that looked like. And the closest thing they had at Evangel at the time to what I thought I wanted to do was a sacred music degree. So I did that. And then all of a sudden this thing, worship, like the genre, busts on the scene while we're in school. All of a sudden, it's like all these things, Vineyard and Hillsong. What is Hillsong? You know, all these, like, things were happening while we were all gathered here in this town. And so we're learning about all this stuff. So I become really involved in the worship world as far as, like, music and everything that that means. But I would find myself for weeks, really, going without, like, reading my Bible. I would pray, I guess, a little bit, you know, or, like, pray as I'd fall asleep. You remember, like, oh, yeah. But then I would be in these worship times, right? It would be amazing. And I would feel the feeling that I felt as I was growing up as a kid, that thing that knew what the presence of the Lord was. And so I knew that's what we were encountering, but that thing wasn't spilling over into my everyday. Does anybody know what I mean? So 4 years of college and then on to a church staff, and it just kind of kept going that way. Or I would have the resolutions. You know, it was kind of like the spiritual diet, right? I'm kind of feeling far away from Jesus today, and so I know what I need to do. I need to start doing my devotions. And so I would do my devotions, you know, for a week or 2 weeks or whatever, and pray a little bit, maybe give it like 5 or 10 minutes before I fell asleep, you know. but it was kind of like a diet. Then you get your fix a little bit. And then all of a sudden I'm back into this other routine of basically living from corporate setting to corporate setting. Does that make sense what I'm saying? So there was no communion. There was no relationship in between Sunday and Wednesday. I came and I gave and I sang and I worshiped and I felt all the things we feel when we're in a corporate setting and the Lord is close to us. And then in all the in-between time, I was just kind of, you know, I wasn't like out doing these big sins or anything, but it was just, there was no place with him. Like I said, with this, the holiness denomination, I'm going to go back to that for a minute. So I remember a moment sitting in, they had a building called the conference. And I remember sitting in this place one night. And so it's where all of the churches from this denomination would come and gather and have services a couple times a year together. And this was like no pants, no makeup. I'm breaking all the rules tonight. Woo! Wow. No. you know, don't cut your hair. Don't wear jewelry. No, you know, all the things, right? And I was a little kid. I remember this. I remember it's like burned into my brain. And I'm sitting there and it was like all of a sudden I'm wondering why. And I didn't really have language for it at the time. I asked my parents a lot of questions afterwards. The first one of which was, why can't I wear a pearl necklace and that woman is holding her bun up with a pearl clip? My dad said he knew he was in trouble. But I was feeling the Spirit of God, right, in a room. Because that's what he promises that he'll do. We come together, right, where two or three are gathered. He's in the midst. I would feel that thing. The presence of God is here. Like there's stuff happening in the room, but I could not justify what I was seeing after. Okay? And what I mean by that is this denomination was going through a really tough time in that there were a lot of leaders in this denomination that did not get along with people that did not look like them. It was a lot of racial stuff going on, and it was not pretty. And I heard things, and I heard people called names, and I saw this other thing going on. And in my little kid mind, I couldn't justify this thing that I knew that was the presence of the Lord. And this, does that make sense? And then I saw these people acting this way outside of that environment, saying these things outside of that environment, and I couldn't figure it out. Why doesn't this all look the same? I hesitated whether to really go this far with this tonight, just because there's always a line, I feel like sometimes with, especially when you talk about those kind of environments, there's all these rules and there's all these things have to be this way and they have to be that way and they can't be this and you can't do that. But the more that I've come away from that, and the older that I've gotten, I've come to realize, even in the last couple of years, though, there really is a way that it looks when your life is led by global worship. There really is a way. There's a way to not live, and there's a way to live. And we can't be afraid of some rules. because there are some things that the Lord has asked us to do as true worshipers that really are not a set of guidelines. They are commands. They are commands for our life. So to go back to the word global, for worship to be true worship, it has to affect everything. Everything about who you are. And I would go so far to say is that if it is not, we really have to stop and ask ourselves, have you really ever truly worshiped at all? To worship is to be aware that he is always near. I love the song that we sing here, Holy Spirit, and the line, let us become more aware of your presence, right? We sing that song a lot. But when you become aware of something, then the other part of this is that then there is a quantifiable response that has to happen, right? When you become aware of something. So I'll give you a like real good example of awareness and response, okay? So my papa is my mom's dad, and he's gone to be with the Lord. But he was infamous for his driving skills in our family. And so one day we went to the grocery store, all of us as a family, and we came out. It was a shopping center, right? And so there are 6 or 7 cars lined up to pull back out on the highway. Imagine like Glenstone, okay? We're like pulling out onto this 4-lane highway. Well, he's sitting there in the line, and he just decided that he didn't want to sit there anymore. He was not going to wait. He had stuff to do. And so we're in this line. He pulls out into the oncoming, you know, where other people are supposed to be pulling into the parking lot, goes right past all 7 cars, and just pulls right on into the main road. And he looks at me in the rearview mirror, I'll never forget it, and he says, Charity Dawn, don't ever let any grass grow under your feet. So I took his advice, wholeheartedly took his advice, and decided to obey the godly counsel of my grandfather. And so if you've ridden with me, you know what that means. And so here I am following his wisdom in my life, right? But then all of a sudden, I see someone when I'm driving who doesn't really probably care for my papa's way of doing things, right? And when I see that car sitting on the side of the highway, what do?
Yeah.
There is immediate action. Immediate. My foot comes off that gas so fast. I don't touch the brake because that would be like total proving my guilt, right? You don't ever want to see the car like do like this. That's the cops like number one. Is there any cops in here? I mean, I drive the speed limit every time. The awareness though of that cop immediately affects my behavior. Every time. I'm not one of those. I know some people are like, I don't care. They just keep driving. No, no, no. Like my foot is coming off the gas. My awareness caused a response. I'm not going to finish. Now I feel their pain. Okay. Yikes. Okay. I know, I told him, I was like, I would speak for an hour or 10 minutes. I'm not sure how much I have. Genesis 4. I think they have that up there for me. One of the first instances in the Bible we see of a worship setting, two brothers, Cain and Abel. You know the story. Abel brings his offering. Cain brings his offering, right? The Lord accepts Abel's offering. He rejects Cain's offering. There's not a lot of information for us in the Bible except for this, which is really a lot, actually. In verse 6 and 7, and the Lord said to Cain, why are you so angry? And why do you look annoyed? If you do well, and the Amplified here says, believing me and doing what is acceptable and pleasing to me, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, but ignore my instruction, sin crouches at your door. Its desire is for you to overpower you, but you must master it. So we have two people here that have brought their worship before the Lord. He accepts one. He rejects the other one. And the other one's, you know, all pouty. And rightfully so, right? That would be terrible. You come and bring something and they're like, but I'm convinced here that we have two examples right here that we really need to pay attention to. I'm convinced that Abel had decided that he was going to be a global worshiper. Everything about him, he even shows up again in Hebrews, in Hebrews 11, where it lists people that were full of faith. Abel's name is there. But the Lord looks right at Cain and he tells him the secret. He tells him how this is the reason why, and here's what you need to do about it. Don't come to me in this place of worship. Don't come to me this way with all these things in your back pocket that you're not willing to deal with all these little compartments. Josh has talked about this before. This is a place that cannot be compartmentalized. We cannot come into this corporate setting and be like this, but really, if anyone had a camera on the inside of us, we're really sitting there like this. Because I have this one thing, I have this one place, I have this one family member, and I will be nice to everybody, but they deserve it. Or this, or that. You know your thing, because we all have these little places. And the Lord is looking for global worshipers. Worship is awareness, and awareness turns into response. I have to skip through some of this tonight, but John 4:24 says, after Jesus meets the woman at the well, but he says, from here on, worshiping the Father will not be a matter of the right place, but with the right heart. For God is a spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshipers who worship and adore him in the realm of the spirit and in truth. So what does worship, a lifestyle of worship, look like if it really isn't singing? This isn't like we don't live a lifestyle of worship and it means I'm singing in my car all day. Right? I mean, I love to sing, but my daughters usually tell me to shut up. Just like they do everybody else, I believe. When you're living a life of global worship and you're aware of him, then the spirit and the truth part come in when the spirit makes you aware of something. It could be anything. It doesn't even have to necessarily be a sin, but it's something that the Spirit is pointing out. I had this happen to me years ago. I was sitting at the front desk working here at the church, and I always put Sweet and Low in my coffee, always. And I went to open a package of it one day, and I felt this little like, ah, don't do that. And I was like, oh, okay. That moment right there was worship. When the Spirit brings something up and gives us a choice. When you're at your job and you're given a special responsibility, but there's a little bit extra money laying there, and then you feel this like, oh, our family really needs a little bit more money. Should I? Nobody would know. It's just laying there. When you decide to do the right thing in that moment is worship. All of those things are the things that matter. Not you walking in this building and singing. It actually doesn't even mean anything. Worship means I come in before the Lord. I don't mean in this room. At any moment. I hide nothing. I hide nothing. We know that he knows everything anyway, but for you yourself, that you hide nothing. If I feel myself starting to become jealous about something, or if I feel myself starting to slide towards a way of thinking that I know he's already dealt with me on and that I've turned on, and then I feel myself starting to go that way again, I come right back in line. That is worship. That is living a lifestyle of worship. That is global worship. I long for the day when these rooms can be full of people living this way in their everyday. The ones that worship has so affected your life that then when we come in this room, it's like the chorus of a thousand yeses just got together. And we're all like singing. And I love, obviously, I love this expression, but I'm just trying to get you to see this isn't what it is. If we aren't turning when he calls us to turn, if it's not affecting the way you treat your spouse, if it's not affecting how you work your job, if it's not affecting how you react to your children, all of that, then this does not matter. These are the ones that the Father is looking for. I'll end with this. A few years ago, I was in a pre-worship prayer at a conference that I was leading worship in, and our band was standing in a circle, and all of a sudden, I had this vision. It's like as clear as day. I could see it like a movie. And it was like I was inside the eyes of really high above, and I felt like I was like seeing from a viewpoint of Jesus. And it was like the eyes would like focus, they would like zoom down on the earth, but instead of people, there were all these little pitchers, like water pitchers, they were clay. And he would like zoom down and look, and he would like kind of hover over some of them, and the ones that he hovered over first had lids on them. And then it would like zoom back out and in and then out and then in. And he was like just kind of moving all around, looking all around. And then there was this one moment where he zoomed in and then the picture had no lid on it. And then all of a sudden it was like I wasn't like looking through the eyes of him anymore. I could see like from the side and I saw this fire. It was like liquid pour through this picture. And then as it went through, and then I realized there was like a hole in the other end. And then what was running through was coming out. And it was affecting everything that was around this picture. And it marked me. I felt like I was literally seeing when he says, I'm searching. He's looking. These are the ones the Father is looking for. Those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Because then what he gives them will flow out from you. But I'm telling you right now, your family, your children, your coworkers, your neighbors, They cannot afford for you to be a person who is living from corporate experience to corporate experience. Your children cannot afford. They cannot afford for you to be a different person in this building than you are in your home. They cannot afford it. They cannot afford that. They don't have the years. I spent years trying to figure all that stuff out. Like, why is this person this way? And then they don't like this person. Like, I couldn't like work it through. They cannot afford this stuff. And so it's time for us. There is a way. There is a way. The way of true worship is that this affects everything about me. Every single thing about me. And that if there's something that doesn't come in line with that, then I get it taken care of. And it's the beauty of the Spirit is that if we lift these things to Him and we say, right here's not right, I'm willing to open up and let you look in and do whatever you want to do. And if this isn't right, I'm willing to change it right now. And there's no condemnation and we move on. So I'd like for you to stand with me.